Yo.
Hey. Can you hear me?
You listening to
#WAW. What a week. What a week.
Hey, Ta. Unlike a government spokesperson in a recent press conference, we can tell you for sure our guests have been invited. They did show up, and that we are going to be speaking to them. So welcome back to WOW, What a Week.
This is
WOW!
What a week.
What a week. You can't make this shit up.
And our comedian guest is in the building. He's a comedian that can make quite an entrance, and even a re-entrance. We can call him Mr. Shuttle. I mean, so much so that he was actually nominated twice for a newcomer award at the same awards show 2 years in a row. That's how hot he is. He comes twice. And now, after a sort of retirement, he's re-entering the world of comedy. Please give a wow welcome to Mr. Mashlangu, a.k.a. Tall Ass Mo.
Ow, 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 ow.
Monkezi. Mr. Ngobontwane.
Yeah, well, that's correct.
How you doing, my dog?
I'm blessed. Umongezi is solo muzi.
Solo
muzi. Umashlangu kote numrunga unzunza. Nkamo kushe futi pezu kwa bongo bondo an. Om kumbeni. Omadiba. Togo waza.
And then what's your Afrikaans name?
Okay, my Afrikaans name is Kurs.
Is that why you're wearing Kurs's top?
Yeah, it's kamale it's Kurs. I really just took that whole thing because, you know, my great-great-grandfather,
yes,
of course, was a very staunch Afrikaans speaking person. And at the same time, now, I'm in love with his tradition.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
He was a nyanga. And obviously, I'm the reincarnation of him.
Sure.
Togos.
In fact, I can't disrespect you. Togos a gogo.
Togos a nyabonga kakhulu ba.
You went on a journey, brah. You went on a journey. I remember I was in touch with you in the middle of your spiritual journey.
Yes.
How much did that journey take out of you?
Yeah.
Just at a physical level, at a mental level, at a spiritual level?
Do you know what? It took, first and foremost, yakhipha inkani.
Yeah.
Inkani means pride.
It humbles you.
It humbles you to such an extent whereby uzuhamba ngamadolo.
I remember meeting you with your gobela.
Yes.
And you were, that was as humble as I've ever seen you.
Thank you.
That was as humble as I've ever seen you.
Because uba ingani.
Yes.
You know, once you're underneath your gobela's care, umntwanake.
Yes.
And when you're a child in someone's home, you need to be that.
Exactly.
There's no such thing as I'm tall as Mo and I've invited Utato to come to.
There's no time for big dick energy when you're at that stage of your life.
Yeah. They chop it off. They chop it up literally.
So you're telling us about what it took out of you.
You know, it took away my comfortability.
Yeah.
I was extremely comfortable with where I was in life.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I mean, I had everything going for me.
Yeah.
You know, I had multiple television shows. I was on each and every single magazine, newspaper you could think of. I was on a whole lot of blogs. My PR, I didn't even have a PR agent. PR would come to me.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And I was on top of the world fresh. Like, honestly speaking, where I was. And then when that whole mental dementia hit me, when the calling hits you, it hits people differently.
So how did it hit you?
Me, I went crazy.
Yeah.
The spirit of my Dlozi overtook who I was.
Sure.
And then I started going ballistic. And I started seeing everybody for who they really were.
Ah.
And because of that, yo, man, I told a lot of people shit in this game, yo.
Yeah.
A lot of people. I went and I told them exactly what they're about, what they think of me. And I know. Like,
sure.
You know? And I'm not ashamed of that. And I can't take those words back because begu iqiniso.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. You are talking your truth.
Yeah.
Telling your truth.
That's correct. And not to start beef or to cause beef with anybody, but then people who I thought were my friends turned out actually to be people who are in competition with me. Like, I'm like, I don't understand how we in competition, but we're doing this thing.
I thought we're trying to bake the same cake.
Yes.
Can't do it. You're eyeing a bigger piece.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I felt like that's something I'm not gonna do anymore. I was sure. I was too naive. I was vulnerable. I was too trusting. Mm-hmm. I was too, you know, I was too much of myself. Basically, I was myself in the game, in and out of the game. Never was I an actor. I've never played a character to say that, okay, I've got this reputation to live by.
Sure.
Or I'm or some shit like that. I was none of that shit. I was tall as Mo. I was Mungis Matango on every single thing I was on in television. Yes, everything's by me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember myself and Euphonic did a comedy show in Bramfontein probably about 13, 14 years ago.
Yeah.
It was called Comedy in the House.
Oh, yes.
And it was a comedy show followed by a house music party.
Yeah.
And you were one of the comedians that we'd hired.
Yes.
You were then relatively unknown, but building.
Correct, yes.
It's been quite a journey, though.
Yes.
Because what I realized with your career is once one door opened, 100 opened.
True.
Were you ready for what happened in terms of the rapid success as soon as
no.
this happened?
No. Do you know, you and, still remember Tony B?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tony B and yourselves were the first DJs that actually said, you know what, we're going to incorporate comedy with house music.
Yes.
Tony B's gig was a disaster. It was the first time I ever got booed in my life because he was playing house
yeah.
and then stopped the music. Are you ready for comedy? Tallest Small is coming now. Man, did I die on that stage.
Why do you think you had such a bad show?
I had such a bad show because people were not yet used to the synergy of stand-up comedy then.
Yes, yes.
Remember, the big five of stand-up comedy was Trevor Noah, Kagiso Rediga, Lois Sokola, Eugene Khoza, and Kiliboni Mulaudzi at that time.
Yes, yes.
And David Kibuka, obviously. They're the ones that were doing more premium comedy. So they only did it at Blues Room, at Village Walk, very high-class, you know, kind of places where people understood what comedy was.
Or at Blacks Only.
Or at Blacks Only, yes. Or at the Johannesburg International Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
So now comedy being out in the clubs and stuff like that wasn't something people were used to.
Sure.
So now all of a sudden there's music and comedy. People are like, what the fuck is this?
Like, you just stopped my favorite song.
Yeah, like for this shit.
Like, how do you stop Changes in My Life and put on this kid I don't
know? No, they were not feeling it at all. And I think that the build-up of stand-up comedy in South Africa, the rite to passage was an extremely difficult one.
Sure.
I remember when I got signed to Podium Comedy Merchants and I was in the same agency with Trevor and Eugene and Kagiso, the guys that I'd been watching on Pure Munati Rock the Rock.
Yes.
When I was signed under that agency with them through Takunda Bima, I couldn't believe it. Our offices were actually just here, just down the road.
Yeah.
I was at a position whereby I was like, wow, I'm in the big time. I'm working with these guys. I opened the mic for all of these guys. And yeah, my career just took off. 100 doors, just the doors just kept on opening door after door, door after door. Mm. And I took every opportunity with both hands and I made sure I made it happen.
When does Mome come into the picture?
Okay, Mome comes into the picture now when I'm tall as Mo already.
Yeah.
All right? I'm tall as Mo with a big reputation in the clubs.
Sure.
And I'm performing on Malville on 7th Avenue.
Yeah.
And I see this beautiful, colorful woman walking down the street. And I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Okay, I see her first, Chuck. Second time I see her, she's jogging. Yeah. But I don't recognize who to woo here. But I can see the colors because that tracksuit she's wearing is not any ordinary tracksuit. It's sure. like some pastel colors shit, like, yo. And I'm like, I think it's the same chick again.
Yeah.
That's when I had to stop and say, hi, Gassi style, velen bagi modetele in velen pum nita utul.
Yeah.
Kamban labu.
Sure.
And ganga ma.
Yeah.
Avu se muhle.
Yeah.
Nyak tela wu tinje ngi tinje pa pa pa. Ama kama ma ite. Kam shela ga jalog. And then, wang nigeza my number wa ake. Wano akse on my number, wang nigeza PBM pin.
Oh, yeah, it was BBM. Back in the BBM era.
Yes, I shang a PBM pin. From then on, it was back and forth texting. Man, I fell in love with that woman. Head, what, hook, line, and sinker.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you guys fall pregnant.
Oh, man, we got married first.
Oh, you were married first.
Yes, yes, yes. I proposed to her, actually, while we were shooting our reality show. It was called Mo Love.
Why did you propose? Did you propose for the show, or were you very in love? Was it content, or were you in love?
It was not content, big bro. For me, I was in love and I never wanted to see myself without this woman.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know what, because that time Joe Momo was being macked on by like serious people.
Sure.
Like soccer players and shit.
Sure.
Like, you know
I
what I'm saying?
I thought you said serious people.
These people had money, bro. These guys had more money than I did. I was just driving a little Mini Cooper then, doing club gigs above 500 times, whatever.
But you're driving a Cressida now, so like...
You know.
OG.
Yeah, I'm an OG, man, you know? So I think that what really made me fall in love with her was her ability to express herself through color.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people watching your show often commented about how it seems like she's running not just the household, but you.
Yes. Do you know more in daughter?
Yeah.
There's certain tasks that you would delegate to your woman.
Sure.
Or delegate to whoever you feel is close in your life, whether it be your mother. Someone you trust.
Yes.
I couldn't be my agent and be the talent at the same time. I couldn't manage myself. Okay, yeah. Yes, I was being managed by Takunda at that time.
Sure.
And Kagiso Lediga, those were the two people that were really managing my career and really putting me on the map.
Mm.
But at the same time, I felt like I needed to go in my own direction.
Sure.
I felt like I was constantly underneath the shadow of Trevor and Loiso. And, you know, I was always the opening guy. And
yeah, you were always the, oh, we also have another guy.
Yes. Like, oh, before he comes, let this nigga warm you up and then we'll bring him on. So what happened was that I built so much stage experience that I was no longer an opening act. I was doing a complete full set.
Yeah.
And by the time the next act comes on, the audience is like,
We've laughed enough.
You want to bring that guy back? Because, you're going to tell us about politics now.
Yeah.
And we just heard about Vijay and his crazy crazy cousins and shit like that. We relate more to those kind of stories.
Yes.
So then I felt like, let me hand the responsibility over to Moment.
Mm.
I taught her how to manage me.
Sure.
I taught her the comedy game. I showed her who is who. Who owes me money? Who does this? Who does that? And then she took it naturally and started running with the whole vibe. Mm. And trust you me, my reputation and the respect that people had for me became a little bit more, they took me more seriously because I'm running my shit professionally.
Mm. It's not you now. You're answering the phone.
Yes.
Saying, tell us more, hello. Speak to management. And then you take the phone and you put it in the other ear. Call it more management.
I used to do that. You're so stupid, bro. Oh my God, what the fuck? I used to do that. Because I used to answer my, I used to be a call center agent, right?
Yeah.
So how I'd answer my phone back in the day would be, thank you for calling Tallest Mall. How can I be of your assistance?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And everybody would be like, fuck, why do you answer the phone like that? I mean, but that's how I was taught to answer a business line.
And if you'd like to book me, press 1.
If you'd like to book me, press 1. If you'd like to send some comments, press 2, you know? So then I stopped doing that shit, and then I taught Mom exactly how it's done.
Sure.
And she kind of then created it into her own thing, where she was able to now not just do comedy deals, but to do television production deals as well.
Mm.
And our brand just started growing from strength to strength.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you feel, in retrospect, or did you ever feel at any stage like maybe you handed over too much power?
Yes, definitely. Now that's how I feel. You know, sometimes it's difficult to work with the one you love because when they make mistakes, you can't separate between business and
the relationship. You're walking on eggshells.
Yeah, not eggshells is a light statement. Landmines, bro.
Jeez, okay.
Fucking landmines, okay? You could take the wrong step and your leg is gone, bro. Okay? Proximity mines to those who play Call of Duty.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now I'm in a field of proximity mines and I can't tell her that, yo, you're fucking up here. Tell this person that we need this now or we need this at this specific time. Or she would be then more, how can I say, corporate sensitive. You know, now I'm just being guarded. You can't say this, Mo. Don't, no. This you can't do. This. Then I felt like, you know what? There's no, I'm like, I needed to space out. I'm like, baby, I need you to be my wife again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Get my wife come home.
Yeah.
Not my manager.
Not my manager. Dude, you know how hard it is? I just fucked up a deal at night when I was sleeping in bed. She's facing that way. I'm facing the other way because of a contract. Ah, why am I yanny talk? No, I'm horny now, bro. Fuck that contract. Let me leave our stress.
Did you ever get managed during sex? Like, Mongezi, you can't go that deep.
Yes, baby. SABC, I'm Safun Wisebenzel. Right? I'm going to let you know, my baby. No, man.
I'm going to do to you what they did to our secret.
It was Robin. Marabia Lamtaja, Nega Wugrob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's our Roba.
It's our Roba. So that's what it is, bro. That's what it is for real, Joe.
So,
oh, yeah.
So I bumped into you the other day outside AM Studios.
Yes.
And we hadn't seen each other in a while.
Yeah.
In fact, we hadn't seen each other since the Lerato Mulo incident.
Yes.
But obviously, we'd been talking.
Yeah, throughout the whole. And I appreciate your support
so
much.
Get the fuck out of here, dude. Yeah. You're my dude.
Yeah, you held me down.
I got your back until.
Even the legal advice you gave me.
Sure.
Everything that you instructed me to do and how not to fight back people that are talking bad of me.
Sure.
I think that that maturity really assisted me a lot.
Because sure.
I was ready to reply back to every tweet. Because I knew my innocence. I was sure. ready to reply back sure. to every tweet. So as you were saying, when we bumped into each other.
So we bumped into each other, but you broke down and cried when we bumped into each other.
Yeah.
It was actually awkward because we're like, it's a public square and people are walking past and you're crying on my shoulder. And you don't cry quietly. So I'm here, it's awkward now. I'm like, so like, what do I do?
I was so emotional that day, Big Dog, because you invite, I remember I was supposed to be your first guest.
You're meant to be my first ever guest, yes.
Yes, yeah. On the podcast. And I remember that same day, I don't know what was going on, why I was not available. Or was not...
I think you were in Cape Town, or you were going to Cape Town, or you were out of town.
Yes, I was out of town.
Yeah.
And then I asked that, yo, can I please, instead of me not just being there,
sure.
can I suggest that you bring my brother, Eugene Causa?
Yeah.
I know for a fact that, you know what, he'll give you just the same of a killer first episode
yeah.
than as I would, or even more.
Exactly.
You understand?
Oh, yeah. For the record, Mo is one of the first, in fact, he's probably the first guy I told about this podcast
yeah.
before it even existed.
Yeah.
So like months before we even did this, we'd actually discussed
it. We were planning it, yes. We'd be like, let's go ahead and do this thing. Yeah. And you had my full support. So me not pulling up, and then we had a loss of communication yeah. for a bit of time.
Mm.
You don't know how worried I was. I was extremely, extremely.
What, you thought I was upset?
Yes. Yes, sis. Yo, I thought Big Dog is gap at me. Hey, then I'm seeing guest after guest, guest after guest.
But no phone call.
No phone call. I'm like, oh, what? Ha, ha. I'm like, no, wait a fucking second. And it's all my comedians that I've worked with and stuff like that. I'm like, no, hold on. That means I really affected you that day.
Yeah.
So when I met you, I couldn't hold myself back because better than this, who, you know, that I'd let you down where you needed me the most. You know what I'm saying? And I had to apologize to you profusely because I felt like maybe Anyego Safun would need a show in Nyako
or
Sokuruma because we have so much shared experiences that I believe that, you know, and this platform would allow us to openly speak about such Absolutely. Things without a director saying
yeah.
cut no
sure.
or being censored or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was very important for me to have this sit down with you. Even today, last night I got a last minute booking to do a production for 2 days.
Yeah.
And I desperately need that job.
Sure.
But I'd already committed to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to them that, yo, listen, guys, I already have a commitment in the morning.
True.
You're only going to start doing my makeup, not my leather, or whatever. So don't come and pick me up at 7, bro.
Yeah. Because they do that.
Yeah.
You hurry up and then you wait.
Yes, you hurry up, then you wait. So I'm like, no, you guys, I work on my terms now.
Sure.
You understand? So I'm like, I'm going to Newtown. Tell your driver that he's going to drop me off at Newtown.
Yeah.
He will wait for me to do my interview with Fresh. And then when we are done, we'll come to your set.
Absolutely.
I don't need much makeup. I'm very sexy and clean. Yes?
I know. You're glowing.
Yes, I'm glowing because I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm extremely happy. And I'm happy that I finally made it onto your show. I'm so happy that I'm here. I'm so happy that I'm speaking to you. I'm happy that... You are asking me questions that are so deep and relevant towards my current situation right now. It's not just about the shows.
Sure.
It's also about Mungis, the human being, Tato, sure. the human being. Mm. And this is something that's going to enlighten a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
On the same day, as fate would have it,
yes.
You know, we ended up hanging out with Eugene. I think Kenny McKenzie also joined yes. us in the basement.
Yes.
Tell us about your relationship with Eugene, because you guys are tight.
Oh, man.
You guys are like Timon and Pumbaa.
Oh, man. Like Terrence, Pinky and the Brain.
Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer. Like Tata and Pavel.
So me and Eugene, whoa, we go many years back, 15,
yeah.
16 years back. I remember the first time I ever performed in front of Eugene Corso was at the DSTV comedy circuit at Bambata in Centurion.
Oh, yes.
And that night, I brought Skumba along with me. I'm keeping a gas. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to sit down. That's his lele la gui.
Sure.
So I'm far again, Motuniami, Satula, say it down, say Bambat. Because at that time, Sevens are at Centurion at the Discovery Health Call Center in Centurion. So I used to work call center during the day, at night, do comedy. So this is a very important show. DSTV Comedy Circuit is a big time paying show. We're all getting paychecks we never thought we could have from talking shit, right?
Sure.
So I come with Skumba and I ask them, yo, Eugene Kriboni, I got this guy that I've been doing comedy with. I've been training him, Vele Intembisa, for quite some time.
Sure.
And I think that he's ready to come and do a skit. You know what I'm saying? To do like, you know, just whatever amount of time you can give him, please.
He will use it.
Yes. Mm. So they gave me 10 minutes. So they saying that, okay, fine. Now you're going to have 7 minutes now. Because we're going to give this nigga 3 minutes of your time.
Sure.
To go ahead and perform. Skumba gets 3 minutes before me. Man, did he fucking kill it.
Yeah.
I remember his first joke that he really used to, I don't know what the fuck was going in his mind when he made that joke. He spoke about what happens in his stomach when he eats food.
Yeah.
So he spoke about a day when he went to carnivore restaurant. You know carnivore where they give you? So he said that he had sheep and cabbage and lion meat and some other zebra meat or whatever, weird meats and crocodile meat in his stomach.
Yeah.
So it's like his digestive system was fighting because the lion was chasing the goat and the goat was trying to eat the cabbage. The zebra was right. So it's a whole story about what was happening in his digestive system. And that was 3 minutes flat and he fucking destroyed it.
Yeah.
I went on for my 7 minutes. I got experience that time. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I gun it and we kill it. So me and Skumba, these two boys from Tembisa, came to the DSTV comedy circuit and showed everybody flames.
They saw their mothers.
They saw their mothers that night because the hunger was too much.
Sure.
So then after the show, Eugene Corso and Kiliboni Mlaudzi have a conversation with us outside. They're like, no, listen here, guys. Why don't you guys pursue this thing full time?
Sure.
What are you doing? I tell them that, no, me, I'm a call center agent. And then Skumba's like, I know, me, I'm administration at SAPS.
Sure.
You know, he's the guy who stamps affidavits.
He's a satisfier.
He's a satisfier.
Sure.
So we were both proud of our jobs because that was our income.
Yes.
You know? And Eugene was like, nah, quit that shit.
Sure.
Quit your jobs and let's do this thing full time. Guess what I did? The next day, I quit my job.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
You know?
I quit my call center job the following day, and I was a specialist at Discovery Health.
Mm.
And that means that I was dealing with irate clients, intricate claims.
Sure.
I was dealing with ex gratia claims, claims that are not willing to be paid by the medical aid. I would fight for people to get their claims processed and paid, you know? So I had a very, very important position at Discovery Health, and I quit it.
Mm.
And I pursued my stand-up comedy. And trust you me, I covered my salary in 14 days.
Yeah.
From that day going forth, Eugene and Kiriboni made sure that I was working.
Yes.
Skumba, unfortunately, at that time, didn't want to quit his job because he was looking at his pension and providence, whatever thing.
Sure.
So he kind of stayed at the police force and continued working. I think he only quit now recently, but 2018 or 2019, just before COVID, whatever, you know? And that for him was something that he felt he had to do because he's not just doing a job, he's at service to the community.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a very selfless job to do. You know? So, yeah, Eugene and I then sparked it out from there. We became friends. I became his opening guy. So I was touring the country, touring Africa with Eugene Corso. Everywhere Eugene went, he took me along with him.
Sure.
And I also was opening for Loiso Gola at the same time.
Mm.
Loiso took me to Cape Town for the first time in my life.
Oh, wow. All right.
And I was culture shocked. I couldn't believe where the fuck I was. Eugene Corso took me to PE, took me to Durban, took me to Zimbabwe, took me to multiple countries that I've never experienced in my life.
Mm.
I went with that man.
True.
So our relationship as brothers really became super, super tight, even to this day.
But your relationship with Skumba went the other way, though.
It went the other way. Do you know what? Abantu mabakhula. You know, fame is a monster.
True.
Fame is a freaking monster, and money is the devil. It can change you. Maybe yena gazboni.
So you're saying it changed him?
Yes. Not changed. Nah. I'm still here fresh.
So what would it take for you guys to reconcile?
I think it needs a serious sit down with the mediator.
What do you need?
I'm hurt, he is hurt.
But you were not introduced by mediator.
We're not introduced by mediators. He's the one who came up to me and asked me to do stand-up comedy.
Sure.
When he saw me doing my shit in Tembisa. I was being chased and stabbed by niggas after shows all the time.
True.
My car would have messages on it. Yeah, I need to use wet ass. I'm going to beg him out there. Ngibhale wet ass kule mboto. Ubonise ukuthi Polonet yami ungayijwayeli amasimba nelitime. Yeyami le Polonet. Wena unani? I swear, bro. So Skumba started protecting me after shows and shit.
So, but are you willing to have a sit down with him?
Yes,
If I arrange it, are you willing to have it?
I am willing to have a sit down with Skumba because he can do anything, and he can do his sabai
lagwe. Sure.
So, at the same time, straight talk never breaks. It only strengthens bonds.
Mm.
And I think that he's been avoiding the conversation for quite some time.
Mm.
You know, I reached out to him. I spoke about him on the MacG podcast.
Sure.
Still nothing.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? That issue of pride is the problem. You know, Indo Temeli is Torbe.
Sure.
So, Masinga's Torbe, Slalapans is Kuluma Jenga Machita Zekaz. I'm sure he's speaking for standing up home.
Sure.
And I know for a fact, if I were to do a two-man show with Skumba, would fucking sell out each and every single time.
Yeah, well,
but now the thing is, we're not in competition. It's one thing you must know. Mm-hmm. You cannot beat the Grandmaster. You understand?
Yeah. You can't beat Silver Fox.
No.
Yeah.
Ip Man, Bruce Lee cannot beat Ip Man.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So I keep on telling him, he keeps on throwing punches. I'm like, nigga, relax.
Yeah.
Calm the fuck down. You know what I'm saying? So I think that, you know what, yes, he's older than me, man, in terms of age, but then in terms of what we're doing in the industry, seeing Dang.
Sure.
He, you know what I'm saying? I'm that comedian that can change his life as I have done before, and I know he can change mine as he's done to mine.
Sure.
So people like Skumba, Mpo Pops, those are the people that I really think that we need to have that sit down again.
What happened with you and Mpo Pops?
I'm Jelama Simbo Pops.
Why? What's wrong? What's happening between you?
You know, I felt like he was two-faced towards me because he was friends with people that I felt fucked me over during my time when no one was there to help me. Nobody helped me.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, people stayed away from me like a rash.
Sure.
Then all of a sudden, when I'm good again, how, Mo, you gonna come and perform at my one-man show? I'm like, what?
Mm.
Now that you see me dancing with Jacob Zuma, you wanna come and ask me to come and perform at your show because you believe I'm deemed relevant again.
Yeah, but when I was going through a fire, you never picked up the phone to call
me. He never picked up the phone to call me.
Mm.
He called me maybe once or twice, whatever, but then you understand what I'm saying? When what I was doing for them, I gave him Pop-Ups his first television show. When Kenny McKenzo and Raplana Sipuma gave me my show called Laugh Out Loud, that was the first prank show I did. I put my niggas on. Abadali. It was him, Rich Lou Benoit, Mo Jack Lihuku,
sure.
Deep Fried Man, CRB. All of those guys were my niggas. And I said to them, yo, guys, we can't do this show without them.
Sure.
And they know that. Robbie Collins as well. Mm. They all know, which do not. I was the follow through and put you on guy. But I never got any of that back from them.
Sure.
And guess what? I was wrong to expect it back. That was my fault. And that's what I apologize for.
Because that's always been my argument, that I expect nothing from everybody.
True.
It helps me manage my expectations.
Yes.
And it protects my peace.
That was where I went wrong.
Because I put people on as part of my calling, I expect nothing back in return.
True.
But it'll be a lie to say it doesn't hurt when the very same people can't pick up the phone and say, are you okay?
Your
kids have food.
Yo, just really bad, man.
Do you need work?
Yes, those kind of calls are important. Because no more. Where does this come from? What? He didn't understand where it came from. I saw him so bad that I told him to go have a three-way with Skumba and Somizi.
Heban.
You know what I'm saying?
But why is Somizi catching straight
bullets? I don't know. He catches straight bullets because at the same time, he also played me.
Yeah.
He was calling me, comforting me. Oh, who's over right, whatever. Oh, please don't go to the MacG show. Then all of a sudden, Vusi Nova's fucking on MacG. They're like, why is your friend on it? Then you have the right to call me and tell me not to speak my truth on this nigga's show. You understand? And then, you know, when someone at then you are the one who's following behind him all the time, asking for help. Like, and say, yo, dog, remember what you said? Now follow up. Oh, he's showing me how much he's working instead of going back to what we spoke about in the initial conversation. Goes, what's
sugela mean? Sure.
Asangumfonele somizwa, what phonele mean?
Is it do you need help? I will help you.
Not necessarily do I need help. He was calling to check up on with me.
Sure.
Because I love his mom so much.
Sure.
But the thing is, that didn't help me with shit when I needed it the most. And I told him, the thing is locking me down. I don't have a car. I don't have mobility. Nah, but I'm being supported by my wife. You understand? Do you know how much that shit will bring you down as a man, knowing what airtime?
Sure.
Never mind the petrol. Never mind never mind the bond. Never mind the kids' school fees, groceries, all those things. The smallest, simplest things. No one was there for me at that point in time. You were there. Even Namaj, I'm not at the best, at my best financial capability, but I'm trying. You helped me out the other day, and I petrol. Mangtumila, I asked you for 200 rand. You sent me 1,000 rand.
I'm not saying I've got 1,000 rand. Don't send your message. It was the last one. I'm just saying.
Shit can get real.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that, yes, we are public figures, but this is all we have gunning for us. I can't go back to Discovery Health and ask for my call center job back. Can you imagine me being at a call center now?
I can. I'd call every day. I would call every day. I'd create problems just so I can call. So maybe it's actually not a bad, unique selling point there.
You never know.
Dear Discovery, my medical aid is with you guys. My policies are with you guys. My insurance is with you guys. Here's an idea. For a funny call center agent, press 3.
There's so less more without the line, you know? And I take pride in that job so much because it really taught me how to corporatize myself so much.
Sure.
You know, I even had the honor of meeting up with Adrian Gore and creating the soft skills manual.
So you know, Discovery.
Yes.
That's dope.
Because we created a thing called the soft skills manual, how to speak to people like normal people on the call center.
Oh, yes.
A claim number, but you are tired.
I see you. I hear you. Sure.
Yes.
Last beef.
Yes.
While we were still hanging out the other day.
Yes.
One of the Goliath brothers came up to you and greeted you.
Yes.
But you were not interested.
Who, Jason?
Jason.
Yeah.
What's happening there?
He's another one of the guys that come out of my left testicle.
Heba nah.
Well, understand. And he honored and respected me when he opened up the Goliath Comedy Club. All the Goliath boys started doing stand-up comedy because they saw me do stand-up. You can question them, all three of them, and sit them down here. When you comedy wires, they're like, whoopee.
True.
They'll tell you, we saw Tallest Mo rock the rock in a way that they could relate with. And we had a fallout, it was him and his wife, we had a big fallout in between each other. And I felt like, you know what, they depreciated the value of stand-up comedy for me. You know?
What was the fallout about, though?
Do you know what? The fallout was, honestly, you know, I'm trying to even think what the fallout was about. It was over gaming. It was over some gaming thing that we're supposed to be doing. And all of a sudden, Jason is now considering himself to be a gamer. He's getting all this gaming PR when they were supposed to give me that gaming PR because I already have a company within gaming. So now they were just doing this thing for the PR and for the, you know, for the perks and for the whatever, but it was not a passion-centered thing that they were doing. We had agreed with Sayans and Antonio. Now all of a sudden it's Jason the gamer now. You understand? That's where I felt like, you know what, actually my brother, you don't have a backbone, bro. You know, for the fact that you honored me at the Goliath Comedy Club and on GQ Magazine and said, yo, if it wasn't for this nigga, we would not have been the Goliaths. We would not have started our Wednesday. We would have not have known, Guti, stand-up comedy is something you can live by. You understand? And then that's why I told him, yo, my nigga, keep it walking, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you and I don't owe each other shit. Like, please respect my space, you know?
You were in Nkandla the other day with former President Jacob Zuma. What were you doing there?
So I was doing a very big production for Paramount.
Sure.
Paramount and I have had a very good relationship throughout the years. And we're shooting a cooking show. It's called The Heartbeat of Africa.
Okay.
So basically with The Heartbeat of Africa with Zandi. Zandi, who is an amazing, beautiful chef from KZN. What an amazing soul. I loved her because her profile was not too overused.
Sure.
And she's a woman who is self-inspired, self-funded, and has an amazing husband called Caesar who supports her in everything that she does. And I met her in Durban and I'm like, you know what, I see a television show out of you, you know, but then I see you interviewing the heartbeat of Africa through food.
Sure.
So who is the first high profile person we can get to interview on this show? I'm like, she's like, no, let's try and ask Baba Zuma. I'm like, hey, being for real, we did that. We sent the request. We sent everything to Baba's team. They responded back and said, oh, tell us more. I had full access in Chunganda. We went into the presidential
suite. Did you swim in the fire pool?
No, I didn't.
I'm disappointed.
We had full access in Chunganda. We met his daughters. We met the daughters that you don't see on TV.
Sure.
We met Umakumalo. She taught us kutubaba ekseni uthanda amageu during the day. Ulinyama, ebusuku simpheka inyama yenkomo nomsila wenkomo nestamp namadumbe. Yabona, those, you know, the interview was, who are you through food?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? He is the heartbeat of KZN, and this show was all about going out there and finding who's the heartbeat of Gauteng, the heartbeat of Western Cape, you know?
Interview. Okay, so it's a whole regional.
Correct. But then we tried it that it can't be regional.
Sure.
It has to be African.
Oh, yeah.
So we changed it to the heartbeat of Africa. So you never know who could be next.
When do we get to see it?
You get to see it, obviously, this year. Probably might. Paramount is still going to decide on the publishing and distribution of the show.
Okay.
We have no idea as to where we're going to be selling it to. By the way, I don't do commissioned content. I do licensed content.
Sure, suppose.
So the difference is that I am a real executive producer. I find the money to shoot the show and I sell it afterwards. I'm not a commission type nigga anymore.
You've moved on.
Yes, I've moved on, yes.
Speaking of moving on.
Yes.
So there's like massive promos for, I think it's Tumi Morake's new show about couples and freaking love and stuff.
Yeah.
But because I saw the promo, but I also knew that I'd heard you say things might not be kosher between the two of you. What's happening with you and Mome?
Okay, currently right now, Mome and I are separated. Okay?
Mm.
We separated and we're in the process of filing for a divorce.
For real?
Yeah. I mean, people grow.
Yeah.
We grew apart. We went through so many different struggles in our relationship.
Mm.
I was there for her as much as she was there for me. And the most important thing with this separation is the respect between the two of us. I'm not going to have a Nsumizi Mhlongo special. We have to break it up and then it's a whole special on my divorce. You can't celebrate such things.
Why are you speaking like that?
I'm sorry, Zomizi. Sorry, bro.
Okay, good.
It's just an example.
Okay.
It really hurts me so much because we have reached a point whereby things are just not... They're not working between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people out there will be saying, Mo, how can you say such a thing? You guys, you need to stay together for us.
I was going to say, have you guys tried everything under the sun that figure a separation was the next best thing?
Definitely.
Mm.
And at the same time...
But people are going to say, but she's busy posting stuff about you guys.
It's me that's walking away, Fresh.
Okay.
It's me that's walking away. I am fucking traumatized.
Mm.
I'm traumatized by black women. You understand me, bruh? Like, I'm so traumatized to a point whereby angifuni ukuba nomfazi womuntu omnyama again. And woman is not part of my trauma. I even said on my interview that even when I was making love to my wife, I would get flashbacks of this woman's face in my picture, in my mind. People were trying to twist that around. Well, if you love your wife so much, why would you be thinking of another woman?
Mm.
Would you not think about someone who traumatizes you?
And trauma doesn't give a fuck what you do.
It doesn't give a shit.
It shows up when it shows up.
It shows up when it shows up. I was told how to heal. I was being told how to deal with myself. But the other sex has got the right not to be told what to do with their pain. And they've got the right to tell us their pain 10 years later. Or 15 years later, and a nigga can go to jail for stupid shit. You understand?
But is it a black woman thing?
Woman is my third love, bro. My high school sweetheart, Samantha, loved us so much. We kissed. My first kiss was under a mulberry tree. I broke my virginity at 21.
Yo?
Yeah.
With mulberry stains all over the place. I'm sure your name was my purple. Mongezi, my peoples.
feel so stupid, bro.
I put the moon
babe. She put the moon babe on the lips, like lipstick. Hey, but it tastes so nice. You said that, guys. Oh, that's the most delicious piece. Oh, my God. I remember to this day, Samantha.
Oh, fuck.
So,
yeah.
And then I fell in love with my baby mama, Mom Smego. And we had a child together. Just such a beautiful relationship. And then things didn't work out between the two of us. And I told myself that I don't want to have a child out of wedlock. I was born out of wedlock.
True.
And my mother was a single mother. She raised me alone. While my dad was in jail, by the way. My dad was a bank robber. He robbed the bank that he was working for and spent 13 years in jail.
Jeez.
Yeah. He went to jail when I was 3 months. Came out when I was, 11 or 12, somewhere there.
Was there a stash of cash when he came out?
Yes. My mom's name was 10,000 Rand. What? But 10,000 Rand back then was like a million.
No, not a million.
Back then.
Maybe 50,000.
Maybe 50,000, eh? Maybe 50,000 or whatever. I don't know how much the value of South African Rand was. But then my mom said it was a lot of money because he bought a car. He dug the money underground.
True.
And he went to go take it out. I don't want to lose my train of thought. When we're talking about this separation, I don't want to run away from it.
Sure.
People need to respect where we at.
Mm.
There's no blame game here.
But if you are walking away, then she won't be happy about that.
No, she's not.
Mm.
She's not.
So how are you guys navigating that?
We are trying to navigate around that, you know, but it's difficult for me to get through to her at this moment in time. We live in two separate houses. She still stays at the farm, and I've moved back to my Santon house.
Jeez.
You know? The kids are not 100% aware as to what's really going on between mom and dad because we haven't yet really had the time or the chance to have that sit down with all of them and say, listen, mom and dad are no longer going to be together from here on forth, but we're still here for you. I need to heal, Fresh. I really need to heal, man. I need to heal. I need time by myself, bro.
You can't heal within your marriage.
No. No. I can't heal within my marriage. And I don't know how to explain it to you or how to justify myself. There's no justification for this thing. I can't tell you why. But I've been celibate for 6 months. And my aim is to stay celibate for 24 months. You understand? Because that's my cleansing process for me. I don't want a woman near me. I'm not interested. I'm not interested anymore. I'm not gay. I'm not saying that I don't love women. But right now you can be butt naked in front of me. Zero. I've even trained my mind so much that I don't even get morning glory, dog. You understand what I'm saying? Neither do I even touch myself or think of anything sexual. I've only been gunning work. How am I going to come over the trauma? I don't know. Because I can't love again. It's difficult for me to love now. It's hard. I can't say that there's a woman that I'll be able to take and say, be mine.
Sure.
If it is love, if it would be, I just don't want it to be infatuation.
Sure.
Or a rebound coming out of a 14-year marriage.
Or blue balls.
Or blue balls speaking. You understand? I really want it to be something that would say there's a symbiotic relationship between me and this person. I don't want to live with the woman in my house again. I don't want to have that. The only people that I'm living for are my kids. Sure. My three beautiful daughters who are piwe kumono te am.
But now in your marriage,
yes,
Mome pretty much ran everything.
Yeah.
Including the finances.
Yes.
So how has moving out affected your pocket?
Big time, bro. Because I don't want her money. I don't want her money. You understand? And for me as umchita, growing up in Logan Jerez, it's hard to be supported by a woman. I am shy, I understand. I see pride. I see pride, gotwa. It gets to a point where by nay, yam shogolos would end up a pele nose and zele pele mash.
True.
You understand? Pele yonkin di pegeyen, school fees in, spegeyen. And here I am, I'm tied up, my hands are tied up because of another woman who falsely accused me of rape, of something that she knows very well never happened and never will happen. I see type yam, I'll say it again to the African. Lerato Moloi, I see type yam. They must stop forcing that situation on me. Yeah, so what is your type? What makes her not a type? Mnyama and a si type yam. Ang jolan nito sa jail. I mean, Agana body, agana ears, agana. See, now much that we talk with, what do we love in a woman? She's got nasty feet. I love women with cute feet. That's that, and it's, and does not give me the right now to go and force myself upon a woman that I believe is my type. You understand?
Yeah, it's not you saying if she was your type, you would have.
I would have done it. You understand what I'm saying? Because women like twisting feminists. The feminists, whatever, on social media, love twist. I'm not even on social media. I deactivated my Twitter, my Instagram. Momo posts for me when she does.
Sure.
Momo is Olivia, my PA, by the way. Please don't get it twisted, guys. No? So she posts for me when she can. And what I'm saying now is that if God grants me a second love, it's going to be a Caucasian woman.
Hey, but nah.
Or something exotic.
So you're channeling your inner course now?
I'm channeling my inner course.
Looking for a Mariki.
Later, so.
Then maybe Mariki, how then not to
Henry. Yes.
Okay.
And you know what I'm saying? That's where I'm at with it right now. I want to date a snow bunny. I want to be with a woman. I don't want anything to do with a black woman. For me personally. Oh, guys, I love you guys. When you see me, please hug me, take pictures. But just know what I'm not interested at all. Because I'm what? I am traumatized. And no one has got the right to tell me how. Do you know I'm on medication right now for life? I'm on Epilim 300 milligrams.
Jesus Christ.
300. You see, I'm still hyper and shit. I've taken two of those tablets this morning. It doesn't do shit. But at least it helps me calm down my anxiety. The time when you saw me there, I don't think I was on my medication by that time, Momo. I had a mental breakdown. I went delusional when Momo and I separated. For 7 days, I didn't sleep. I was admitted to Tembisa Hospital. Momo, come here. Come here quickly. I was admitted to Tembisa Hospital for 7 days under medical aid, fresh. If it wasn't for this woman here, my brother, Caesar Zandi. Momo, please tell Fresh Kuti what kind of condition I was in.
Sorry, Momo, we didn't want to drag you into...
No, it was really bad.
You can come closer to the mic. Yeah.
It was really, really, really bad. Ngasho kuti, he lost his mind and it was like it took over. So it was bad. In order for us to get him into the hospital, we had to, the thingy, we had to call the ambulance, and they had to sedate him because I'm getting the ambulance in. Like, yeah. It was really bad. It was, for me, it was very traumatic, you know. But I'm glad we were there, even Eugene Koza, Zandi, Caesar. Sure. Yeah, but it was really bad.
So why are you sticking around? Your average person would have run away from the drama.
I don't know. I just believe in more, you know. I believe in more, and I know all that he's capable of, you know. So,
yeah. We met here.
Yeah, we met here in 2019. Yeah, so ever since, NJ, I believed in him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Momo.
Thank you for saving my life, Sissy, okay? So,
Mongezi.
So that's me. That's why right now I'm on Epilim, I'm on sleeping tablets because I suffered from dementia.
Jeez.
Yeah. I was delusional.
What do you say to someone who says you are walking away from your marriage because you're delusional? Or because you were delusional?
Oh, because I'm mentally... You know what? I'm mentally unstable.
Sure.
I got a psychologist. I got an occupational therapist. I got a psychiatric what? I see those people regularly. And these people were granted to me by Tembisa Hospital. The hospital that people think that if you go...
The hospital from hell.
They think it's the hospital from hell. It is not. Today, I want to say in front of camera today, the nurses, Dr. Mario, who else, Momo? Do you still remember all the doctors that helped me? Dr. Mario Noban, who was that Muslim doctor? Don't remember him, but then, because I was in a state, my memory is really bad. That's why I had to ask Momo to come and talk for me on that issue, because Ben said Rosini at that point in time. Those people saved my life.
Sure.
I'll show you, I'll actually give you a video of myself where I'm strapped down to the hospital bed. Mboshiwe. It's not the first time that happened to me. It's the second time.
In closing.
Yes.
Are you okay? Are you going to be okay?
It's okay not to be okay. It's okay not to be okay. Mm. And guess what? Through the grace of God, through Badinubak, Limudinuk Mutsipilin, that's it, or Kishab.
Sure.
Kishab.
What's next for Tolismo?
Okay, what's next for me?
Quickly, because we need to run.
Yo, what's next for me is doing more one-man shows.
Sure.
I'll be producing a lot of content. I'm not an influencer, so I don't do content for Instagram and social media. I'm a broadcaster. I sure. make content for television, so catch a lot of my shows on Paramount that'll be coming out.
Mm.
A new cooking show I've got coming out. There's a big interview I've done for Showmax called Uncancelled, which is sure. coming out when, Momo? In August. Yeah, end of August, towards the end of August. Please, you have to watch that.
They'd invited me for Uncancelled, it's just I was not available. So
you are not available.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I think that if they do a second season, you have to go. You definitely have to go. Mm-hmm. Those motherfuckers put me in the same room as Lady Zama. Dog. Because Naeh, she also has the right to her own story, because what can say? You know what I'm saying? But it's like, I don't know what it is, Mina Fresh. Aye, dog. I only see greater things for myself.
Sure.
And I'm going to help a lot of people.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And I respect and love my kobelo unyo nyam, who Isaac Dumile Mukhosi and his wife.
No, I met him. He's an incredible man.
Yes.
Mm.
Till to this day, this man has always been a great spiritual father to me.
Sure.
You know, so just watch out for that. That's what it is.
My man, we need to let you go.
Thank you.
You've overstayed your welcome.
I've overstayed, ne?
By 45 minutes.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
And you're late. But listen, yes. My dude, I love you.
Thank you so
and
much.
And I'll continue being in your corner, not yeah. just your circle.
Me too.
And keep building, my dude.
Thank
keep
you.
Keep building and just keep, you bob and weave, you throw a punch. Bob, weave, throw a punch.
Damn straight.
That's how you keep going forward.
Can I get a hug?
Yeah, man. I'm not going to stand up. You can give me a hug in your cool bus shirt. Love you, my dude.
Ek liek by jou almal, Mirky, jy weet wie jy is. As jy soek om 'n bietjie om te naai, om te pomp, as jy soek my liefde, wag vir my 24 maande, ek sal terugkom. Awe julle almal, ek lief vir julle baie.
Tot ziens, tot ziens, tot ziens. Tolismo has left the building.
This is...
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. This kid...
Yeah!
Really kicks.
When looking at the lineup this week, one of our producers remarked that it's a sausage festival. Well, in general, we try not to worry too much about PC-ness as long as people have something interesting to say. So let's get this braai going. First on the grill is our Wow What A Kid interviewee for the week. Please give a wow welcome to Sipho Alfie Nkwanazi. You are under 35, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, cool. Because Wow What A Kid is African youth under 35.
Sure.
So you just made
sure,
it. Sure. In case you're wondering why we're calling you a kid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes. I really hope I maintain that kidness for some time.
No, I'm sure you will.
Hey, we're growing, man.
Let's talk about adults and braces.
Sure.
Yes, you've got braces right now. And I'm wondering if it's an epidemic because I'm seeing more and more adults,
yeah.
black adults,
sure.
with braces. So I'm wondering if it's a trend or just now we can afford them.
I think it definitely is a trend.
Yeah.
I really think it really is a trend because a lot of people are now sort of tapping into the fact that, hey, I need to look good.
Yes.
You know, I need to fix my teeth.
I need to push them in.
Yeah, I need to push them
and
in.
And this wasn't working.
So, and the fact that we afford them now also sure. plays a role.
It helps.
Because now, yeah, because, yeah. you know, you're just like, yeah, also, and there are some people who don't need them. I mean, a lot of people said I don't need them, but I had gaps, you know.
Also, for when it's more alignment,
yes,
then
you know, yeah. So some people don't need them, and they serve different purposes. But yeah, we can afford them. We're getting there.
There are also people who, for instance, get braces in their adult
sure.
Hood that now are sad to get rid of them because they feel, ish, I'm not going to look cute anymore. Are you one of those people? Or you can't wait to get rid of them?
I can't wait to get rid of my braces because I come from a family of brilliant pearly whites.
Hey, but
like, my family's got brilliant teeth.
So, black sheep.
So, literally, black, the blackest of the blackest of sheep. And I've always, like, wanted my teeth to look like my family's teeth. So when I got the chance to get my braces, I was like, yes, and I can't wait to get them off.
Speaking family, so, tell us about your childhood. Where were you born and raised?
Yo, I had a brilliant childhood, man. I'm from Davyton in the East Rand.
Yes.
Grew up in the streets. Mm. Literally, you could not get me out of the streets. I played to my heart's content. I got beaten to my heart's content.
And it was all worth it.
It was, let me tell you, like, I don't understand why kids now are playing Woody PlayStation and they're sitting at home with their little devices. We were in the streets, okay?
Do you know that school holidays, they knew they're not going to see me? I'd literally leave by 7.
Sure.
Because my parents would leave for work at 7.
Sure.
I leave at 7.
Yes.
They'll see me when the street lights go on.
Exactly. And that's just before they come back.
And because, no, they'll be back already.
Okay.
But I knew I was going to get a beating.
Sure.
But I knew it was worth it.
Yeah. You choose your weapon of choice. Yes. It's just like, I'm here with a belt today. Let's try that. Exactly. You know, it was worth it for our immune systems also. But look at the creatives that we are now. And I think that comes from like the engagements that we had in the streets.
Sure.
The different problem solving skills that we had
to deal with people.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Learn to negotiate with your bully.
We once burnt down someone's little shack, dog, in the streets. So we, like, it was winter, and you know, every house has got like a windy house. They've got like that little windy house at the back where they keep everything. It's like storage, you know. So we had like a fire gotnyana going on, and we put it on there, and we used to cook food, you know. So somebody would bring 2 pieces of chicken nyana, someone would bring something.
We used to hunt for the birds, but
oh yes,
you guys were higher class.
We just loot from our groceries. Just loot. And
whether you bring some.
Yeah.
We're not bringing a small pair.
So.
Yeah.
And then we cooked. But you know, we're kids, our attention span, man.
Yeah.
We left that fire, got went to go play other things. And when we come back, it was madness. But thank goodness it wasn't someone's house. It was just a windy house. Mm. But yeah, my mom literally almost took me to the ER that day because she was just like, how?
Yeah.
How? So yeah, childhood, I come from a mother of two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mother of two, yes. Me and my little sister who we lost in 2021.
How old was she when you...
She was 24 when she passed. She was 24 when she passed. So my mom had two of us.
What was her name?
Usami. Sifiso Sami.
Sifiso Sami.
Yeah, so we'd call her Usami. Mm-hmm. Yes, she was my mother's wish.
How did that affect the family unit and you personally, losing Usami?
It's been crazy because we're still grieving her. I mean, it's very recent. And there's a story to that as well that I'm going to share with you. But because we come from such a small family, it was a huge thing for us because, I mean, we're so limited. So to lose,
and your mom has lost half her kids.
Exactly.
Now. Yeah.
So to lose, and I mean, this other half, man, dog. I mean,
taking along.
You know, lost the good half. We lost the good half. So it was crazy for us, and it was the first funeral in the family as well. So it was just a lot, but we managed to cope. What is interesting though, is that I lost my sister a week before I lost Dr. Cindy. And that was my first encounter with you through Dr. Cindy Fansale. So she always said to me, listen, I want you to meet Fresh. I think he's going to teach you so many things. He's going to teach you so many wonderful
things. Cindy was probably my biggest fan that not many people knew of. So like my biggest fan. On my birthday, she's bringing cake to studio.
Yes. Yes.
Like at 5 in the morning,
She'd
be there with cake.
And I don't understand how she would manage that with all of us.
Cindy would force her hubby to come to a gig of mine, and he'd be there in his laptop working while she's gigging. Yes.
I remember you were doing something at the Wanderer Stadium. It was so cold that day. And she was like, yeah, we're going there. And her hubby had to be there. And he's a coder.
Yes.
So he was there coding while we were running around.
Hey, I hope he was coding and not hacking into my phone to make sure we're just friends.
But yeah, man, Cindy was a gem.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was good to meet you through her.
Assuming heaven exists.
Sure.
What conversations do you think Dr. Cindy and your baby sis are having about you right now?
One, Cindy's very proud of me because there are a lot of things that I wanted to do, but I was too afraid to do then. So Cindy is looking at a lot of things that I discussed with her.
Sure.
And she's just like, you're killing it.
So you've gone and done them.
I've done. I'm checking boxes because we sat down. We actually drew a list together. And I said, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I'm checking that list as I go along. I know my sister's sitting there and she's just like, bruh, how did you manage to be friends with this person? Because...
Nothing is going on.
You know, so they're having really great conversations. I just hope she's not giving my sister champagne. You know, Cindy and Bubbly, bruh. So I just hope my sister is just doing what she's supposed to be doing in heaven. And now she's not like, you know, popping bottles with Cindy, because I know for a fact Cindy's popping bottles. I had a dream about her, actually. And this was maybe 3 months after her passing. I was like, hey, dude, I miss you so much. She was like, yo, brah, I'm chilled. And she had a glass of champagne.
As always.
Yeah.
I'm sure she even has a halo on one finger there, sipping champagne.
She's a wildie. She's a wildie.
How does that much loss, like, what does it do to you, having to deal with so much loss,
sure,
but having to still carry on because you can't stop.
You can't. You absolutely cannot. And I think that it's different for different people. There are people who have to completely stop because it's necessary and it's healthy to do so. I do advise a stop because you've lost a part of you. I do advise that. But there are some people who use it to the advantage to propel them into greater things. I mean, after my sister passed away, I realized, well, I may not have a lot of time on earth. I need to do stuff. You know, I've got work to do. So I use my sister's grief to propel me into like really pushing. So now when I do things, I really just, I go to all ends to make sure that I get it, because I'm just like, hey, I could just collapse tomorrow and just like...
And they can't remember me being mediocre today.
Exactly. Okay? Exactly.
It's like, and you know...
Yeah, they must know.
He died because he was mediocre all the day.
So yeah, they must know.
Now, on your Facebook, you talk about passion meeting purpose.
Yes.
What is your purpose?
My purpose...
Apart from to make money.
Hey, that's a big purpose.
And to be the best MC ever.
That's a big purpose. I think my purpose is to impact people. My purpose is to allow people to understand that you do not necessarily need to be perfect to touch a life. And you don't need to touch 10,000 lives. But if you can touch one, you've done so much.
So basically your purpose is my purpose. You basically hijacked my purpose.
No. You're stealing my purpose. My purpose...
But I've been doing it.
Okay, so... But my purpose is bigger.
Welcome. We've been expecting you, Alfie.
But yeah, I think all I do is... I always say, Guti, I am Usipho, the gift that keeps on giving. And if I can give you a smile on that day, if I can give you clarity, if I can give you a hug, if I can give you something that you will take home with you to say... Things will be okay.
Sure.
It's not good now, but things will be okay. I've fulfilled my purpose.
Your job is done for the day.
Sure.
Maybe even for the year.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you are 17 and you get your first MC gig at a wedding because someone didn't show up.
Sure.
What gave you the balls to do it? Because often at that age, you're still trying to find yourself. You're not sure if...
Yes. Yes.
You know, your average 17-year-old would have not done that.
So I grew up as the loudmouth. With the small little voice. I had so much to say, you know, and I think my family spotted that and they really put me into avenues that sharpened that gift. Mm-hmm. So every time there was a song that needed to be sung, you know, my grandma would be like, and I'd be there. Every time there's something that needs to be said in like, you know, a family function, sure. My mom is just like, you know, so and also growing up in the church, you know, the church allows you to explore so many gifts and talents and all of that sort of stuff. So when they said, hey, brah, our MC didn't show up, can you do this? I'd been MCing other things at church. I was like, wedding.
So you're the voice at church.
Yeah. Wedding. Let's go. And you know, I remember, I always say this. I remember when I was on stage, it's like something tapped me on the shoulder and said, this is where you belong. You need to use every effort you can to ensure that you experience this moment over and over and over. Yes. And that's why of all the things that I do, like I can draw up strategies for brands. I can do so many videos. But having me on stage, that whatever that thing is comes back and says, good, you are where you belong.
And unfortunately, you can't get that if you're not giving 100%.
Exactly. You can't. You really can't.
Yeah.
You can't, because even you can tell that I'm not here. I'm not aligned.
Yeah.
And when you are aligned, it's so crazy. The hearts of people just gravitate towards you. People just appreciate it. And it's so crazy how much money people are willing to part with for you to fully express your gift.
Yes.
And do what you do best.
Yes, guys, there's good money in MCing, but you have to be damn good.
I don't know.
There's good money.
Okay.
One day you will start making money. When did you realize that you're becoming an internet star? What was that moment? Was it a phone call you got? Was it the amount of likes, the amount of plays on a certain clip of yours?
I was at work. So I posted a video.
So work is where, for those that don't know?
So I was at the South African National Parks. Yes. at the time. And we had an open plan system at some point, right? And we had a TV, I remember. And so a video that I had posted over the weekend,
yeah,
had gained so much mileage that it was on the news.
Jeez.
So somebody was like, over the news and over the weekend, we had this or whatnot. And this video has been doing so much and encouraging people to lose their weight and all of that stuff. And I'm like, wait, huh? No, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, and this is something I'd posted on WhatsApp. So it wasn't even on TikTok. It wasn't on Instagram.
So someone snitched it out of the
system. Somebody just grabbed it and put it on TikTok and it just spread like wildfire. And that's when I knew, we're on the internet now.
Did that in any way affect work? Either positively or negatively?
It was a touch and go situation, because I think at work they knew this about me. They knew that
you are that guy.
This is what I like to do. But there were some instances as the brand started growing, as brand Alfie started growing, I got pulled to the side having to do other things, because now you're doing campaign work. Now you have to travel to different places. Now I'm emceeing in different cities and different countries.
Sometimes some parks need you at
cool. You know? And my boss is just like, yeah, but did you see the lions run away? And I'm like, hey, hold up. I'll be back, you know? So, and I had to sit down with my executives and be like, listen, can't we figure out a way to just merge the two? And because of the organization I was working for, we can't always do that for everyone, you know. But I really think there would have been a proper synergy for me to still be able to do what I do and still be able to benefit my organization.
I was going
to
say, don't you feel they could have better used you?
I think so. But also we're governed by policies. We're governed by regulation, you know. And I think that they did try. But there was just a little bit of a struggle, because things would have taken longer. And when that gift is burning.
It's now.
It needs to happen now.
Yeah.
And also, we don't want to set that precedence to say, okay, sharp, now that Alfie is mushrooming into this, let's now make him that. You get what I'm saying? So it was important for us to take that into consideration. So I said, no, this is home.
Sure.
I'll definitely be back. But let me go fly around a bit.
Yeah.
And when I'm done, I'll come back home. Don't stress. Yeah.
Tell the hyenas, I'll keep them lucky.
Sure. Yes, back. I'll come back. Yeah, yeah.
The first paycheck that you made outside of Sandparks,
sure,
that made you realize that I might not go back to Sandparks.
Let me tell you, because when I left Sandparks, I had no plan.
Sure.
I had no reserve. I had not saved anything.
And nothing is guaranteed.
Nothing is guaranteed. Yeah. And somebody said, hey, listen, we need you on a campaign, but you need to MC it as well.
Jesus.
You're going to be flown into Cape Town.
So it's a double paycheck.
Yeah. You're going to be flown into Cape Town. We need you to create this content on video.
Yeah.
And we also need you to MC that event.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm thinking, Ashap, I'll be flown to Cape Town. It's cool, man. Yeah. I've been to Cape Town. They brought the best Mercedes to come collect me from the airport. I went to a pristine hotel.
Yeah.
I was dressed up, I was proper. And when that SMS came in, I was like, Yeah. I'm at the right place. I'm at the right place. Because I was like, this is so hectic. It didn't feel like work at all. Mm-hmm. I would earn my salary at Sand Parks. I would earn my paycheck. You know, I'd know today we worked. But that emceeing, doing all of the stuff, it didn't feel like work. So for that money to come in, I was just like,
yeah.
Let's do more of this, you know? Yeah.
Why didn't I do this when I was a teenager?
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that. And it's something that I've always wanted because I wanted it as a teenager. But my mom was just like, no, I need you in school, buddy. Sure. I need you to focus on this. Make sure that you tick all of those boxes. And only when the time is right, you'll get to do what you want to do.
What does she feel about your career right now?
My mom is insane. Like, I get exhausted about what I do sometimes. Like, you're my mom. It's like, you're my mom's boss. My mother, Al. And I mean, at home, you see. But now, like, when she's trying to butter me up, it's like, Alfim Tanam. And I'm like, no, I'm going to need you to tone it down a bit. Tone it down a few notches, you know? She's enjoying it. I mean, she likes it. And I think one of the things my mom is enjoying the most is the fact that God is answering her prayers, because my mom has conversations with God about me.
Sure.
And
conversations like what?
She's constantly crying for God to do the most, ma'am. Mm-hmm. You know, I hear her in the morning when she's one of those people who are up at 3 a.m. Sure. talking to God about us.
They're both, just both her and me then. I'm up at 12 and at 3.
Hectic. Prayer warriors.
Yeah, you must give me your mom's number. Maybe we can have a cell group.
What do you want
on cell phone? Mom? No, man, I don't have your stepdad. Don't worry.
No, I don't trust you with my mom. This thing was just prayer. Yeah. Oh, my wife's fresh, yeah.
10 past 4 injury hour.
Anyway, so my mom is just happy to be getting the answers that she's wanted from God about my life. Mm. Yeah.
And it doesn't help that she lost her
pop. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't. It sure. doesn't. It's crazy because, you know, she had expectations on both of us. But things happened, and, you know, so it is what it is.
Sure. Mm. How do you decide that, okay, this I'm going to record and post? And where, is there anything you ever stopped yourself from posting, but you had recorded it?
Yeah. So, one, I don't record something twice.
Okay.
So, if I record something, it's in the moment. If I record it and I watch it and I realize, I have to repeat this or I have to change that. That moment
it's
is
dead.
Gone.
It's dead.
Dead.
Yeah.
But there are some instances because, as a blabbermouth, and you know, we're opinionated, there are some instances where you have to rein yourself back in and be like, that one will get into trouble. Mm. So I try to have a lot of intuition with what can go out there and what can't go out. And that helps me a lot. That helps me a lot. So there are instances where I'm like, hey, that one, especially with current affairs, you know, when you want to just, like, jab at something and you're like, come back.
Okay, so you do editorialize yourself.
I do. I have to now more than ever, because then it was nice. He's hilarious. Yeah. But now it's you need to be careful about your opinion. Exactly. Yeah. So you can't just, that's not going to fly.
So there was an explosion downtown Joburg. In fact, downtown Joburg looked like an Avengers movie.
The way
that road was cracked. But you know what blew my mind was how, despite the fact that there's just been an explosion, cars were thrown up in the air back down, and there's a big ravine, and that you could smell gas, and it might explode again. People are there wanting to shoot and film, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Exactly. Literally, it's a gas explosion. That means you can't see it, but it's affecting you. Hello.
Or there might be another explosion.
But South Africans are Avengers, naturally. South Africans are content creators. South Africans create content.
Because another thing that I failed to understand was, there's been an explosion here. Why is this place not cordoned off quickly? It's like, life carried on.
I think some of the resources that we have, or the people that need to act in time, also just get shocked just as us. Like, I just sometimes feel as though we do have the proper measures, but when they need to be, you know,
to be
actioned, it's just like, It's not a false alarm. Papa, I'm not late.
That's the fire engine aboard.
What? Wait, the fire engine? We have a fire engine? Okay, okay. You know, so it's crazy on all of us. And everyone's just like, you know. Jeez. So I think that we're just, everyone is shocked. Even the people who are supposed to be there with, you know, everyone's just like, you guys, yeah, tell you what happened. Yeah. You know, so.
I was there. I was supposed to be working,
but let me show you. Because that's another thing about content creation now.
Yeah.
You could be taking a simple video that will turn into 10 million views overnight. Mm-hmm. And that will change the direction of your life immediately.
It does, yeah.
So you never know. You never know. Just get that content. No, yet, Dan.
Which video of yours is still giving?
This is so crazy. I was talking to someone about this, that I try to, I don't know how it happens, but some of the content that I use or post becomes so timeless. Last year we posted a video, no, it was 2 years ago. We posted a video of Umam Swongile talking about the cold.
Yes.
And she's preparing soup and she's doing this and she's doing that. Every time it's cold outside, that video resurfaces.
Like soup, it shows up.
It resurfaces. We've got other videos, man, when it starts raining in December.
Yeah.
Those videos resurface. Mm. Those videos resurface. But the one that is always, always winning is my mom talking about taking me to the war in Ukraine.
Oh, yes.
It's approaching 3 million views on TikTok. And I don't know, people just can't get over, like, I think when they see that video, everyone sees their mom. Mm. We all see a strand of our mom. Like, yes. Yeah, I understand. I understand.
When do you start making money from posts?
So you need to be tactical and very smart about how you make money from posts. Mm. Because in South Africa, one can't monetize on their content yet. I think you now can. I think you
on YouTube you can.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I think TikTok now you can.
Yeah, recently. Put that in place. However, what brands see is your engagement and, you know, how your video does, how well your video does. And then they start approaching you about creating branded content. Mm. And it's only then when you are able to decide on a rate and, you know, the sort of content that you're going to post, and then a brand will say, no, I'm willing to part with 20,000, 10,000, 5,000, 500,000. Actually, there are people who do that. There are people who coin it that much.
No, I can see that scarf. 100,000 rand scarf.
Please.
So you're not doing bad.
So yeah, that's when it starts happening. Yeah.
Yes.
But
yes.
Also, you need to also just give brands a nudge to say, guys, I'm open to doing this. Because some of us are really good at creating the content, but yes, we can't translate branded content into like actual, you know, like a brief.
Into money.
Yeah.
Into money. Yes,
sure.
Yes.
Sure.
And then do you have a team that you work with? Do you have people that are your sounding boards, or is Alfie a one-man show?
So I have a team. Now my team has about seven individuals. And we keep
growing. I should be a TikToker, seven people.
We keep growing along the way. You know, we keep growing along the way. I have somebody who looks at our finances. I have somebody who drives me around and manages my diary and my schedule. I have somebody who does our contracts and everything legal. You know, we've got somebody who says, hey, bro, what the hell are you wearing, dog? You know, so different people do different things, and we've got that group. Most of the time, I try not to have a sounding board when it comes to content that is posted by Alfie.
Oh, yes.
Branded content, definitely we can have a sounding board on that. Mm-hmm. But the creativity that comes from Alfie, I'm willing to take the shots that come with that.
Also because that's what built
exactly,
Alfie.
Exactly. So I try not to have a lot of opinions on that because it is what it is. It must be authentic.
They can tell you after you've posted.
Yes, yeah. They can be like, what the? Take it down now. You know? But before it goes out, it just goes out, and it's going to catch all of us by surprise. Whether it trends or it doesn't trend, all of us are just like, it's trending. Oh, okay.
Mm.
Good.
You see, that's why we trusted you, Alfie.
Sure.
You know, the same people calling you.
Exactly.
Any post that got more negativity than you thought it would or should?
Interestingly enough, and this is something that I've experienced all my life. And this wasn't a post. This was when I did the black carpet at the Metro FM Awards.
Yeah.
All right. And a lot of people see my videos and they think that the voice is just for the videos.
Oh, yes, it's a character for the videos.
So when I was actually on live television, people were like, wait, it's actually his voice? Like, how does he have such a huge beard? And we're like, what's going on, guys? You know? So a lot of people were shocked at that. And of course, you know, Twitter trolls will Twitter troll.
Yeah.
But like people were just caught off guard. Like, oh, it actually is his voice.
He does speak like that.
He talks like So yeah. But I was just like, it is what it is. And it comes with the territory.
I'm such a big fan of your work. When we were doing our lineup for O Ship, I was like, my wish list includes you. I don't care what it takes. Get Alfie.
Sure, man.
Are you looking forward to Ocean?
You got me, dog.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to Ocean. It's crazy because I am such an ambivert. Mm. So I'm one of those people who will be up and bubbly when I have to do what I have to do. But other than that, I'm literally a tortoise in my little shell. I'm just like, So Ocean is going to be crazy because you can't leave and go home.
You can go to your cabin.
You can't. It's Ocean.
I love the way you're thinking.
It's Ocean, you know. So I'm really excited. Mm. We're away from home. We're all going to be together. It's just going to be such a vibe. And I've seen the videos of Ocean. I've seen what you've done at Ocean. I cannot wait.
And we're on a bigger ship now because they're bringing, it's like a bigger ship. So there'll be, normally it's about 2,000 people, 2,500.
Sure.
Now there'll be 3,500.
So it's like being at a mall, but you just don't go home.
No, no, not a mall. At two government schools. It's like being at two government schools.
High.
But on water.
Oh, my word.
With sound.
Cannot wait.
And it's 3 days of nonstop
parties, and they're themed, and you've got to, and I'm going to be emceeing one of those.
Exactly.
Cannot wait.
No, like I said, that's how much of a fan I am.
So cannot wait, bro.
I'm glad you'll be joining us.
Thank you so much for that.
What else are you working on? Where can we catch Alfie next?
Listen, Sipo Alfie on social, Sipo_Alfie, Alfie_Sipo. Yeah, whichever.
Yeah.
I am working on an incredible event at the end of the year. I want to do a beautiful celebration. It's under Believers Base. We've got something called Believers Base that we do.
Okay.
And it's going to go live in November sometime. And we're just going to be there just saying thank you, you know, for the work we've gotten throughout the year, the people we've met and the people that we've engaged with. So you can expect a lot of that. There's a lot of emceeing happening. Mm-hmm. Festive season is taking off crazily.
So you're busy.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't MC weddings because they believe a wedding should be MC'd by someone who knows the bride and the groom.
Sure.
Where do you draw the line in terms of MC work you will or will not do?
So I am one of those people who are able to make an experience seem as though, like, we go way back with this person. Yes, so when I meet a couple, so I take time out during the week to speak to the couple, and from there I can take their energy.
Oh, so you actually work for your money?
Yes, you know, I'm just like, surprise, surprise.
How about you just show up at 5 to the wedding?
You know? So I'll just get a sense of, okay, sharp, this is the energy they give off. And I try to match that when we meet on stage.
Sure.
But some of the requests I get, I mean, sometimes I'm asked to do like something at like 2 a.m. in the morning. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Exactly. What are you doing? No, that sounds like a cultic sacrifice.
What in the cult is this?
Yeah, that sounds like a cultic sacrifice. You guys want to take my lung. Yeah. So there are just some place, and also just Mina, after 10, 11 p.m., you don't have much of Alfie.
Okay, so the battery is...
Yeah, he just becomes grumpy and he's just like, he wants to eat and he's always in his tub. I mean, you've seen him. He's always in his tub. So, yeah. But weddings, corporate gigs, got your guy.
And then wedding bells for you or a partner on O-Ship? Like, what's how's your life looking?
We don't know. Somebody tweeted the other day that your temperatures are going to decrease again. And I quoted that tweet and I said, yeah, I guess my value is also going to decrease because I can't keep this up. I know my worth. I know my worth. When the time is right.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I'm struggling to find.
What are you looking for?
I don't know what I'm looking for. I actually don't want to talk about it because every time there's just like, how are you looking? Like, how are you looking? You don't know what you're looking for. So I'm just like, I literally just put my head in a hole like an ostrich when it comes to that. I even turned red in the face. I'm like, no, I don't know.
So when last were you dating?
2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years. It's been 2 years. It's been 2 years.
2 years no dating or 2 years celibate?
It's been
There's a difference, Pela.
It's been 2 years celibate.
2 years? I die. You're lying. As he sips his coffee.
It's just been a really good 2 years. Hey, let's move on. Let's move on.
Oh, man. Alfie, I love your work, my dude.
Thank you so
much. One of your millions of fans across the world. And we'll continue shouting your name from tall buildings and even in rooms you're not in.
Thank you so much.
Because you kick ass.
Thank you so much.
But most importantly, we'll see you on O-Ship. And we're looking forward to 3 days on water with a very single, very celibate, with blue balls, clearly, Alfie and Kwana.
I have one question for you, though, before we go. What can I expect at O-Ship? What can I expect?
It's a 3-day party experience, a lot of music, a lot of people drinking.
Yeah.
Because you're Alfie, you'll be hounded for autographs and pictures. But we'll have security for you.
Oh.
So if you want to take pictures, you can do that.
Me, I don't need security.
No, you will.
Those are my people.
Oh. No. 3,500 people drinking.
Okay. Stop being your... All right. So, yeah, very quickly.
But most importantly, on the first day, pace yourself.
Okay.
Half the DJs we've had over the last 10 plus years miss their set on the first night.
Because that's how wild.
Because they drink a lot. So just pace yourself. Pace yourself and you'll be fine.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's
we'll see you on O-Ship.
And thank you for having me, Fish.
Ladies and gentlemen, Alfie, Mr. Celibate for 2 years. Although we know he's lying. Kwanazi. We're out of here, man. In fact, we leave you on a sad note. Well-known SATV series Sieva Dilan is coming to an end. Legend Derek Watts is leaving carte blanche. Some would say that these two things are more indicators of the end of the world. Some would say it's more reminders that the only constant thing is change. Hope you can embrace the changes that happen anytime soon. In the meantime, wishing you all a wow week ahead. Have a great week in spite of yourselves. Shout out to our guests. Today we had Tolesmo and Alfie Mkwanazi. Amp Studios for hosting us. Africa Podcast Network for being our family. Shout out to our cinematographers, Pezulu Works, to our audio engineer, Otis the Floor Fraser, and of course, creative director, Kuvesh Mohan, and show producer, Kelezo Mudisa King. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com.